Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. My name is Chris Jackson, and I serve as the Director of Young Families here at Church of the Apostles. And I want to take an opportunity to actually offer an invitation to all the young married, young families, you know, toddlers, elementary age kids. I want to invite you to join myself and other young families of Apostles at a Young Families Gathering Sunday, March 23rd. It's a great way to meet other young families and to fellowship with one another. And so if you're looking for details on that, you can just find me after the service or email me, cjackson@apostles.org. I'd love to connect you to that event. It's just a sweet time together. So I hope you'll join us. Would you join me in turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Our text will focus on three verses, Romans 8, 26, 27, 28. And we'll look at the work of the Holy Spirit, specifically in these verses. And the reason I wanted to focus on these three verses in particular, a couple of reasons, is one, the adult Bible class, the ABC class that I typically teach on the sixth floor during this hour, is going through Romans together. And we are just about done with Romans chapter 9. And so Romans 8 has been fresh on my mind. It's been working on my heart. And so I just wanted to share with you and encourage you with some of the things that we gleaned from this chapter. And also, the second reason is because previously, when I have taught at this hour in here, I taught on Romans 8, 18 through 25. And so I know Jonathan mentioned last week at the beginning of his sermon that you should go catch up with all the sermons that in his current series of the gospel in Genesis. So all 40 plus sermons that you guys have gone through, praise the Lord. But if that may seem just a smidge daunting to you, maybe one sermon, you can go on apostles.org and find Eagerly Waiting is the name of the sermon that I preached in here, Romans 8, 18 through 25. But I want to build off of that sermon because we are eagerly waiting, aren't we? Paul says in Romans 8, 25, that we who have the Spirit are waiting for a fuller adoption as sons, a fuller redemption of our bodies. It's just what Jeremy said up here. We're waiting for the fullness of Christ's work. But we might find ourselves asking, well, I'm waiting for this fuller adoption. I'm waiting for this redemption. What is God doing during this time? How is He working as I'm trying to patiently wait? And with this question, these series of questions, we pick up in verses 26, 27, and 28 of Romans chapter 8. Let's read this and pray together. Starting in verse 26, Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we are asking for the help of your Spirit this morning as we open your word and consider your word this morning, that you would give us eyes to see and hearts to believe and understand and hands and feet to live this out. Father, we ask that by your Spirit that we would pray as we ought and pray for the things that we ought, And so, Father, we pray for salvation. We pray for the lost. We pray those that have yet to hear the gospel, those that have heard but have yet to believe. Father, we ask that you would pierce the heart of stone and grant a heart of flesh. And for those in here that have your spirit indwelled, Father, we ask that you would refine and work and encourage and convict, Father, for the glory of Christ. Would you do this work this morning, the work that only you can do? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a common occurrence weekly, it seems like, to be sitting at my desk here at the church at about 4 p.m. on a given, we'll say a given Tuesday, preparing for my adult Bible class, going over Romans, or preparing for our dad's discipleship group, when my phone will buzz, notifying me that I've received a text message. I'll pick up my phone, and I'll see that it's a text from my wife, Allie. And the typical text that I will receive at this particular point in the day will read something like, "When can I expect you home?" Or, "ETA? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark?" There's a lot of question marks. Or, "Can we do pizza for dinner?" Now, to most, to the untrained eye, these texts may seem like genuine questions asking for genuine information. It's about 4 o'clock. At what time can I expect you home? Maybe to start dinner or whatever. Hey, pizza sounds great, doesn't it? It's Tuesday. Why not? But for me, these texts all say something different. In fact, they all say the same thing. They say, "Help." That's what they all say. And with, you know, 6 small children at home, ranging from ages 3 to 10, no twins, you can understand the interpretation of those texts. And it seems to fit, right? Well, our passage this morning is Paul's response to the cry of help. Help. We need help. You see, in the verses leading up to verse 26, we see Paul coming off of writing about enduring suffering. We see Paul writing about the groanings of fallen creation. He discusses how we are waiting patiently for a greater redemption. And following the flow of these verses and the heart of these verses, we find ourselves, much like the Roman church, saying, "Help." And isn't it good news that this is the first work that we see of the Spirit in these verses, that the Spirit helps us? Look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us." This word, help, is the same word used in Luke 10, verses 38 and 39. You'll remember this is Mary and Martha. Right? Martha has demanded that Jesus command Mary to help her in the preparations for the Lord, because Mary is simply just sitting, listening to the Lord. And I think that there's an interesting connection between our passage this morning in Romans 8 and Luke 10. You see, Martha was the one who invited Jesus into her home, and yet, she was so busy with tasks and working that Luke tells us in verse 40 that she was, quote, "distracted with much serving." Now, our first verse, verse 26, Paul tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. But what is that weakness? What weakness is Paul referencing? We have to go back to verse 25. Look at verse 25 and then verse 26. Verse 25, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." There's our action. Waiting in hope with patience. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do you see what the weakness is? The weakness is patiently waiting. Our weakness is very Martha-like, isn't it? Distracted by what? Busyness. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us would confess that this week we failed to be about our Lord's kingdom work because we were too busy? I say this to confess my own failure in this area, even in my own home. But it is quite difficult to think this way, isn't it? It's difficult to think this way because we often justify being busy with being productive, with being successful. But if we are honest with ourselves, being busy isn't a strength. It's actually a weakness for us. Full calendars and busy planners is actually weakness for us. Why? It is a weakness due to us not waiting patiently on the Lord. We find ourselves, much like Abram and Sarai, justifying our impatience, not waiting on the Lord. Here, sleep with my female servant, Hagar. Then I will have a son. That's what the Lord desires, right? Let's go ahead and let's move this thing forward. Right? There's my connection to the Gospel of Genesis series right there, Genesis 17. But according to Paul, this is the weakness, isn't it? That we don't wait patiently. And he actually gives us evidence of this weakness. Let's look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Here's the evidence. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. What is Paul saying here? He is telling us, teaching us, that the gauge of whether we are waiting patiently on the Lord is prayer. Do you want to know if you are waiting patiently for the fullness of Christ's redeeming work? Consider your prayers. You know, in preparing for this sermon, and this point exactly, I've been challenged. I know some people do this regularly. I don't, but I've been challenged to maybe start journaling prayers. And maybe in light of this, this would be a challenge to you that we might be able to see how the Spirit will help us and grow us in waiting patiently by considering our prayers. I know that Mom to Mom, many of you or some of you may be involved in Mom to Mom, the Thursday Moms group on Thursday mornings here. I know they've been going through a book on prayer, speaking to this very point. But I want all of us to see this, that the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us and grows us in prayer. We need the Spirit's help in prayer. That's what the text is pointing us to. We need the Spirit. We need His help for the purpose of praying. We need His help to pray in the right manner and for the right things. Why? Because our thoughts, our vision, our perspective is so small, so limited. And yet, the Spirit assures us that our prayers are heard. For as the text tells us in verse 26, the Spirit intercedes for us. Verse 26 tells us The Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. What an interesting phrase. With groanings too deep for words. Now, but before we jump to some sort of unintelligible angelic language here, let's first connect groanings to the previous verses. If you look at verse 22, you see that groanings is mentioned again. Where? In the groanings of creation, affected by sin and the fall. Look at verse 23. Who's groaning in verse 23? It's the saints. It's the church groaning. And so what is Paul saying then when he mentions the groanings of the Holy Spirit in verse 26? I think those three are connected. And he is emphasizing that it is with us. And like us, and yet a little different than us, that the Holy Spirit groans for what? The fullness of the redemption of Christ. You see, with all of creation, the Spirit groans for this redemption. And like us, because go back just a few verses and see that the Christian is united with the Spirit, has the indwelling of the Spirit. It's our spirit bearing witness with the Holy Spirit to what? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And yet different from us, from our limited gaze, our limited perspective, our childish wants and desires, the Spirit does what? Intercedes. And is uniquely heard by the Father. Praise God. The Spirit groans. This truth, this work of the Spirit, should stir us to tremendous hope that the Holy Spirit helps us, specifically in our waiting, specifically in our prayerful waiting, to pray as we ought to pray for what we should pray for. You know, this reminds me of the attempts that I've tried with my young children, my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old, where at bedtime they're laying down and we're going to pray together. Okay, let's pray together. Hey, say what Dad says here. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our home. Thank you for our home. And then they start to get the rhythm and they're like, Dad, let me pray. Let me do this, right? And so they start to pray, and we begin to pray for every stuffed animal in the room. We pray for every Batman character we can name. We thank God for Hot Wheels, right? But then on their own, they begin to pray for their siblings. And they begin to pray for Mom and for Dad. And they begin to thank God for their friends, for the church, for their family. And to this I say yes and amen, and I'm reminded that I need the Holy Spirit's work in me to guide me and to intercede for me, as my prayers sound so much like a 3-year-old. In verse 27, Paul doubles down on a specific work he's already mentioned in verse 26. And he says again in verse 27, he says that the Spirit intercedes for us. We see that the Spirit interceding for the saints points to a specific way the Spirit helps the believer. But we often think of interceding as Jesus's work, right? And rightly so. If you know Hebrews 7. And we often think of the Spirit, his work in other ways. We think of John 14, verse 26, that the Spirit teaches the saints. We think of John 16, verses 13 and 14, that the Spirit guides us in truth, that the Spirit glorifies Christ. And we also know that the Scriptures are are divinely inspired, right? And that the Spirit uniquely works through them, speaks through the Scriptures, for they are God-breathed, living and active, and able to reprove and correct and convict. And we long for this kind of work, right? We long, as we open our Bibles, that the Spirit would make clear in our lives and in our worldview and in our world what we need to see, what we need to be convicted of, what we need to be encouraged in. We as Christians desire this. But we often don't think or consider this intercession of the Holy Spirit. We don't find ourselves thinking of the Holy Spirit interceding for us or making clear our prayers to the Father, that He would guide our hearts to pray in such a way that would align with the will of God. But what if we considered these actions of the Holy Spirit? What would change in us? How would our prayers change? Do you think we would pray more? I think that verses like pray without ceasing take on a renewed perspective with this in mind. Why? Because we begin to see prayer as the unique spiritual Christian discipline, this unique exercise where it reveals our weakness. It reveals our weakness in waiting. And so we begin to grow stronger in waiting on the Lord. We grow with the help and the intercession of the Spirit in prayer. And this is one way that the work of the Spirit we find ourselves longing for as we wait for the fullness of Christ's redemption. Finally, I want us to consider verse 28. You see, at first glance in verse 28, we might think that there's some sort of gap between Paul's thoughts in verse 27 and verse 28. Because in verse 27, Paul is talking about the intercession of the Spirit. But in verse 28, he seems to be talking about the good that Christians can rest assured that God is working. Well, if we look closely, we'll see in verse 28 what Paul is doing. Let's read it very quickly, a verse that we probably have heard a lot. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. What is Paul talking about here? Where do we see the work of the Spirit in verse 28? In fact, we see the effect of the Spirit. We see the Spirit's work in people. How do we see this? We see this in two ways. We see that the Spirit shows us the love of God, and the Spirit secures us in the love of God. Let's consider those two things. First, the Spirit shows us the love of God. Notice verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work for good. Make it a little note here. Maybe highlight or underline for those who love God. This is the only reference in Romans for our love towards God. Every other reference is God's love towards us. And yet we have this reference here of our love towards God. But how do we become those that love God? Because if we go back and we read the first three chapters of Romans, what do we see? We don't love God. We love our sin. In our sinful state, our sinful nature, we love our sin. And not only do we love our sin, we love our legalism that says, I can make myself right with God by doing X, Y, and Z. So not only do I love sin, I love myself. And yet Paul corrects this He shows us that it is the Spirit of God that reveals to us and shows us the love of God for us. Let's consider two verses. One, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Well, how is this love revealed? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Let me read this for you. Maybe this introduction, these first few verses will sound familiar. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put to shame. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like waiting patiently, hopefully, enduringly? Yeah, it does sound familiar. Then Paul says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. There's the work. That the love of God has been poured out and into us so that we might see the love of God and respond to the love of God in loving him by the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do not think that you can manufacture a love for God without the Spirit of God. Do not think that you can manufacture a love for God in someone else without the Spirit of God. For the love of God by the power of the gospel in the hearts of God's people is nothing short of a miracle. You want to see miracles today? A heart of stone cut out by the Spirit of God and replaced with a heart of flesh that reveals the love of God and produces a love for God and the gospel and God's people is nothing short of a miracle. Finally, the Holy Spirit internally, effectually calls and secures the calling of God's people. Who are those that are called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28? They are those who the Spirit seals as a guarantee. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Consider also Romans 8, 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the security that the Spirit grants. That no matter what we're facing today, tomorrow, in years to come, there is a security knowing that we have the Spirit who helps us, who intercedes for us, who shows us the love of the Father, and who secures us as our guarantee. How encouraging this passage is that for us, those that have been graced with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have help. We have one who helps us endure our present suffering. One who helps us wait patiently. One who helps us wait prayerfully. One who helps us pray. One who intercedes for us. One who groans for the Father to bring ultimate restoration to a broken world. One who is our guarantee. One who shows us the love of the Father. Are you struggling in waiting on the Lord this morning? Pray. Pray in the Spirit by the power of His Word. Are you wanting to see the salvation of the Lord? Pray for the Spirit to reveal the love of God to hard hearts. Are you rejoicing over the security and the love that you have found in Christ and in His gospel? Then pray. Pray by the Spirit, glorifying Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we are asking that by your Spirit you would do these things. Father, we are asking by your Spirit that you would help us to wait patiently upon you, for you. Father, we are asking, Lord, that you would save, that your Spirit would reveal in the hearts of stone your love, your gospel. And Father, we are, by your Spirit, rejoicing over the work that you have done in our own lives, the work that you are doing amongst these people for the glory of Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us. Father, would your Spirit do that work? And would it bring great honor and glory to Christ? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.